You know, I always like to take this opportunity to talk about myself.
Woo!
Looking man, the best dressed man. You know why? Woo, because my name's Ric Flair.
Woo!
Hello, and welcome back to the only 7-star wrestling radio show on planet Earth. This is Indie Wrestling Radio. I am your co-host, Jordan Fox, the Sly One, some people call me. And as always, the man, the myth, the legend is with me. You know him as Mr. Floyd Johnson Jr. Floyd, what's up, bro?
Actually, today, feeling pretty good. Last night, I can honestly say we're going to talk about it later. But there were some certain segments of Raw that it, like, reinvigorated me as a fan.
Uh-oh, I can't wait to hear about that. I cannot wait to hear about what those are. And I have a feeling that I know what they are, but I'm not 100%. And honest to goodness, anyone out there listening, we did not talk about Raw at all together this week, right?
Not at all. We haven't talked about anything.
Yeah, we saved it all for the show this morning. I do apologize. I want to start off the show real quick. I wrote Floyd, I think it was either Sunday night or early Monday morning. I wrote you and I said that I could not go live on the air Monday morning. I have a 9-year-old son. Everyone knows he'll actually be 10 in just a few short days. Wow. In 3 days, he'll be 10 years old. But Bradford has got a real bad cough. We ended up having to take him to urgent care last night. But he's sick, so he had to stay home the last couple days. So yesterday, I could not do the show. So thank everyone for understanding why Floyd and I did not do the show yesterday. And then some other news came out this morning that I shared with Floyd first thing this morning. And that is the first annual Wrestle Hub Wrestling Podcast Award nominations came out today, and we are 2-time nominees, my friend Floyd. 2-time. We are.
They like us. They really like us.
Some Sally Field going on there. We got nominated for Best Review Podcast of 2018 and Podcast of the Year, and the crowd goes wild.
So we know there's somebody out there that we must have gave money or something. So to that person, we appreciate you.
we paid at least 2 people off to get some nominations, I think. Or I guess it was 4, because I'm not 100%, but I think 2 people had to vote to get someone nominated. Not 100% on that. But so that means someone had to first it and second it in 2 different categories. So we must have paid some people off to do that. But so what? What do they say? It's not about winning, just to be nominated. Just to be nominated is an honor. Well, you know what? That's bullshit, because I want to win it all. I want to win it all.
Yeah. And it's like, if you're my friends and you don't vote for me, you're dead to me.
No, but on the real, man, who the people that voted and nominated for us thus far, we truly appreciate it. It's really awesome. Floyd and I have talked about it numerous times. It literally blows our mind that a sport, an entertainment business that we have dedicated a lot of time to in watching and critiquing and anything and everything underneath the sun when it comes to wrestling has provided us with so much joy in our lives, and it has allowed us to connect with other wrestling fans across the world. I mean, there's hundreds, and sometimes, depending on, you know, on a good day, there's over 1,000 people every single day that listen to our show, you know, to hear you and I talk about wrestling. And that's so, so cool, man. That is absolutely cool. And it's just, man, it's humbling to know that we were out of, I think there was seven award categories, and we were nominated for two of them. You know what I mean? Even though the Wrestle Hub, I've got a bone to pick with them because we were not nominated for Best Duo. So someone dropped the ball there, Wrestle Hub, because we weren't nominated for that. And I don't know if they consider us, since Marvelous Mike Moore and I do the video portion of the show. Maybe they think of us as a trio. But that's in a category too, and we weren't nominated for that either. So I'm gonna have to put on the old Taz mission, the old rear naked chokehold on somebody next time I see him, bro. I'll be like,
you know, we've done quite a few shows together now, but still, we're kind of in our infancy as co-hosts. So that, you know, I feel like we have a pretty good groove together, but, you know, I didn't know, hey, you know, anybody else thought it, you know what I'm saying? So I'm very happy to be included.
Absolutely. Yeah, truly, man. I 100% agree, man. And I'm completely joking when I say that stuff. Everyone that listens to the show on the daily knows that all seriousness, or all joking aside, rather, that it's truly so cool to see that, to wake up early this morning. I even woke up my wife. She was kind of like half awake when I was getting out of bed, and I was looking at Twitter, and I was like, oh my God, we got nominated for podcast award. And she said something like, shut the hell up, I'm trying to sleep or something. But I could hear the excitement in her ear, in her voice, you know?
Yeah, I'm like, I'll be honest, it made my Tuesday, you know?
Same here, like, bro. Same here.
And I'm gonna... it's like...
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's like, I didn't even, like, my day hadn't even really, you know, my day, I work overnight, so my day was ending, and it was like, oh, dude, I'm going to sleep good today.
Yeah, absolutely. On my personal Facebook, I just made a quick status saying that our show was nominated. I'm going to make a bigger post and tag both Floyd and Marvelous Mike in it. Thanking everyone for the support and all that. I was so excited. I just typed up the first thing that came to mind and put the little hashtag on there. But if we are friends on my personal Facebook, I'm going to put that post on there, and Marvelous Mike and Floyd will be tagged in it. And I'll I will put the link on there so that you can go and vote for us. The voting process is set up where they are using the show's Twitter handle as what you vote for. So everyone that listens to the show, you should know by now that our Twitter handle is IWR Daily, standing for Indie Wrestling Radio Daily. So IWR Daily. And just to say it one more time, we are nominated for Best Review Podcast of 2018 and Best Wrestling Podcast, Podcast of the Year 2018. So those are the two categories. So again, thank everyone for listening. Thank everyone for nominating us. And then thank you, Floyd, for making this show worthy enough to be nominated for Podcast of the Year. You know what I'm saying? Because without you, it'd just be me on here going, Raw was pretty good this week. I would give it an A+. You know? So, you give me that vibe.
I would love to give Raw an A+. That would be awesome.
I know. I know, right? Speaking of, hang on, one more thing. I'm going to say one more thing before we go into Raw. So, if you do follow us, if you follow me personally on Twitter, Instagram, or on Facebook, you know that I worked my first show for WFC in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's a promotion called Wrestling for a Cause. It's one of the best promotions in the state. and I dare and bear with me because I'm going to talk about this for just a second, but they all proceeds go to benefit children with cancer. It is absolutely phenomenal. And if there was a promotion that is on the brink of being ready for TV, ready for prime time, it is this promotion. It is phenomenal. The fan base is hot. The wrestlers, I mean, and the wrestlers, they mean what they're doing. They truly believe in the product. It's just absolutely awesome. It's an awesome promotion. We are now streaming that on Facebook Live. Saturday Night Show was the first show that they had that they streamed on Facebook Live. So I am now a part of two different promotions that stream every monthly in WFC. So, but I am on I'm a part of two different promotions that have Facebook Live shows. So please check them out, and you can see some of the pictures that I posted from Saturday Night Show on my Facebook, and I'm going to post some more on Instagram today. Hopefully, depending on what Floyd's schedule looks like in the next 2 months, hopefully Floyd can come over and see the show and come backstage and meet all the cool guys that I got to meet this month. It was an awesome show. So if anyone's in the Tulsa area, be on the lookout for WFC. It's only $10 cover charge to get in the building, and I promise you, you will not be disappointed. The next show will be October 27th. So be on the lookout for that. It's actually in Claremore, Oklahoma, which is a suburb of Tulsa. And then October 28th, I will be in Dallas, Texas, outside of Dallas, in Royce City, Texas, for Heroes of Wrestling, where I'll be on commentary there. So watch out for both those dates. Floyd had an extremely busy weekend, so he was not able to watch the WFC live stream yet. So we're going to put off our review of the show from Saturday night either till tomorrow or the following day, whenever Floyd's got time to watch the show, because it was kind of a long show, so it might take you a little bit to watch it. I think it was, I think it might have been a 2.5 hour show. I think there was like 8 or 9 matches. I could be wrong, but they have a VIP show that's an hour long, and then they had 7 matches. So it was a good show. It was definitely worth the watch. Anybody that listens to the show knows that the one thing out of all of the good traits that Floyd has, the best trait he's got is he does not sugarcoat shit. So he will be able to honestly tell us what he thought of Wrestling for a Cause. So I can't wait to review that. And I will be working on the blog today to talk a little bit about WFC. And fair warning, if you do read the blog today, there will be some spoilers in the blog because it's been past 24 hours. The 24-hour rule is something that I actually did learn from you, Floyd. I don't know if you remember teaching me that on our way back from All In. But that's something that you taught me, to not put out spoilers within the first 24 hours of a show. So,
it's always been a solid rule. It started in a club. I can't take all credit for it. It's just, it gives everybody I know, everyone has a life. Not everyone's me. You know what I mean? Not everybody's staying up 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning watch Japanese shows. So it was actually a way to keep me in check.
I got you. And I love the rule. As soon as I heard you, it was actually you and our mutual friend, your co-host at Around the Ring, Ryan Aaron, and you both actually taught me it, but it was not to put out spoilers within 24 hours of a show. And as soon as I heard it, it made perfect sense. I just had never thought about it. So, like, I would be posting, you know, spoilers all the time on Twitter and stuff like that. I just never thought about it. So I'm glad that the two of you taught it to me, because now I live by it in when it comes to the realm of wrestling. So good looking out on both y'all's parts. With that being said, man, is there anything else you want to say before we start talking about some Raw? Damn, I was about to say Raw is War, dude. Where's my head at this morning, man?
Well, if we have any hardcore fans that will be in Nashville this Sunday, October 21st, for NWA 70. I will be there. I am the 6 foot, 300 pound white guy, and I'll be rocking a Super J-Cash shirt for that event. I am doing all the VIP stuff. Don't definitely come up and say hello.
Oh, dude, you're not wearing a Cody shirt?
My girl's going to be wearing a Cody shirt. Now, this is funny because, you know, we're fans of Super J-Cash. They don't like Cody, right?
Right.
So I figured their first pick of somebody wearing their shirt with a wrestler will be me wearing a shirt with Cody.
Oh, okay. So you're saying Super J-Cast does not like Cody?
They do not. They are not fans of Cody. We've actually had a couple of exchanges about that.
Wow, so, I did not know that.
Cody is not the superhero. I mean, a lot of people don't consider, they don't like his in-ring style. It's really WWE-5, right?
Right.
I mean, he's adjusted to me. Like, personally, I'm a Cody fan, so I'm not really impartial. So, just being honest, I'm not impartial.
I understand. Yeah, totally.
I like Cody. But, I think he's amazing. I think he's, great. But we're not big fans of his in-ring work. He's not... He doesn't work a style like Kenny Omega and Okada, you know what I'm saying? He works, like I said, he works a conservative style. We've talked about that.
Yeah, we've talked about it at length, yeah.
Yeah, where he works the style, he's going to be able to work when he's 60, if he wants to still be working.
Right.
You know, so that's the big thing with him. But not a lot of people like that style. So, with that being said, he does catch flack at times for... not working at Super Style. So they are bored by him. Damon and Joel do not find him interesting. So as a shout out to them, I am going to get a picture with Cody wearing a Super J-Cash shirt and tag them all in.
I think it's a marvelous idea, my friend. Marvelous.
I just kind of needle them a little bit. Like, I'm wearing your favorite. I'm seeing your favorite wrestler wearing his shirt, and it'll be funny.
That's awesome. That is absolutely awesome, dude. Yeah, so if anyone sees the man, the myth, the legend, your Floyd and savior, Floyd Johnson Jr. at NWA 70, it's in Nashville, correct?
Correct.
If you see Floyd there, you better go up and get his Herbie Hancock, get his autograph, which reminds me, the last thing I'll say, and Floyd was one of the first people that I told about it, I was asked from one of our listeners, for my very first autograph on Saturday at WFC. It was exhilarating, man, and I was in the middle of doing... I wasn't on commentary, but I did a after the cause thing afterwards where I sat down with our two commentators for the show, and we did some review stuff, and somewhere in all that mix I had one of our podcast listeners come up and ask me for my autograph, dude, and I was so blown away. I got goosebumps, man. I don't know if that sounds weird, I don't know if that sounds goofy or whatever, but I got asked for an autograph, man, and I will always regret not taking the time, and I couldn't. I was in a position where I couldn't do this, but I wanted to so badly. I wanted to be like, oh my god, man, you just made my day. Thank you. What's your name? I wanted to get a selfie with them, maybe hold up the autograph. I signed the program from the wrestling show, and I just was not in a position to be able to do all that. So I will always regret that, but I will be back at WFC on the 27th. So if you are listening, man, come back up so we can sit down. I will be sure and set up a time somewhere during the show at intermission or something so we can sit down and talk for a little bit. And I would love to get your likes and don't likes about the show and all this and that and really get to talk to you. But dude, man, Floyd, I got to sign my first autograph.
I'm definitely happy for you. I signed an autograph at my last ever Oklahoma Mania, one of my last wrestling shows, And it was just a really drunk guy that wanted an autograph. I wait for the moment that I sign an autograph because someone wants the autograph from actual Floyd. Because they're afraid of me. That'll be different.
I got you. Well, I know that this guy would have asked for your autograph as well. And like he didn't specifically mention you, but he said y'all are doing great things. I love Indie Wrestling Radio. He called us by the show. You know what I mean? Yeah. And he referred to me as Sly, which is, oh my God, dude, I couldn't believe it. It was so freaking awesome, man. But and I haven't even mentioned this to you off air, but I want hopefully in the next couple of months, we have November 27th, I'm working WFC in Tulsa, and then November 10th, I'm working WFC in Tulsa. So hopefully if you ain't got nothing going on, and if you do, we'll make arrangements for a different show. But I hope that maybe you and Ryan, or even if it's just you, come over and see the show. It's really awesome, man. You get to, you know what I mean? Get to come back and I'll show you the setup that they have. It's really cool, man. I think some of the guys would love to meet you, man.
That would be awesome. I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. Well, I wish we could talk indie wrestling the entire time, since that truly is mine and your bread and butter. But we got to talk about the E just a little bit today.
I'm actually looking forward to talking about the E today.
Uh-oh. Any specific reason?
Oh, her name is Ronda Rousey. So.
All right. Well, we'll be getting to her shortly. Real quick, last thing I'll say, and this pertains to the WWE, and that is that the word, I don't think they specifically said this, the only statement the WWE has said about the Crown Jewel in Saudi Arabia show is that unless the federal government or Donald Trump himself asks them or requires them not to go to Saudi Arabia for the show, they will be going to the show as of right now. So my question to you is, Floyd, did you expect that? Did you expect them? You did expect them to be like, hey, if they're not requiring us not to go, we're going.
Yeah, I don't think you might have, but I put in a post, and I'm just going to kind of read my comments.
Okay.
I said, the WWE is an impossible situation here. With the amount of money that is tied up in the events with Saudi Arabia, imagine this is not as simple as a handshake agreement with the Saudi government. That means I don't think legally it's as simple as them canceling moving the event. If they cancel the event, they will lose all the money that they have spent promoting the event, and I imagine the Saudi government would sue them for a ton of money. So unless they can prove there's some legal reason not to go, i.e. safety or something like that, I think they have to. I don't plan to watch, cover, or support it, but it might be a lot more complicated than just not going.
That's a very... very good outlet and very well written that you have there. It's so hard to not to talk about this. I don't know about for you, but for me, it's so hard to talk about this and not want to go political, I guess you would say. So I don't want to, and you and I have always said since day one, since we teamed up and made the show, mine, yours, and Mike's, we always said that we did not want to do anything political. We wanted to keep it wrestling and pop culture, basically. No politics. So, but I do think if a non-wrestling fan that does keep up with politics and does keep up with stuff that's going on in Saudi Arabia, it's probably not a good look for the WWE to go. But for people that know more about the finances like you and I, because we keep up with wrestling so much, I mean, dude, with the right lawsuit coming from Saudi, like you said, say WWE does not go, but then can't prove that they had a legitimate reason for breaking their contract, I mean, Saudi could essentially bankrupt the company. Am I right?
Yeah, because, I mean, That's the thing. He has that kind of money. He, you know, that's what I'm like. And it's like, it's a 10-year, a lot of people believe, like a billion-dollar deal. So I'm pretty sure that he's protected himself as far as, or the government protected themselves as far as, you can't just take our money and not show up, you know, that kind of thing. So
right.
That's what I keep telling people. It's like, I understand. It sounds great, but the WWE is not like all these other companies that were thinking about, you know, doing business with Saudi. They, you know, they're in bed. You know, there was no thinking. They are in bed with Saudi Arabia, at least business wise.
Yep, I totally understand. And you know, I've said on the show once before that I am an advocate for the WWE not going to Saudi. I'm pretty sure that I said that prior to the world's greatest Royal Rumble, just because of some of the things that Saudi is known for and the way their government is ran. I was not a big fan of the WWE getting in bed with these people. But if I'm speaking, if I was to make myself look at it in an unbiased form, I would probably side with the WWE having to go because of contractual obligations. Because, I mean, it, you know, because like you just said, you know, I mean, it could be very detrimental to their finances if they break contract without due cause, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, if they can prove that they have some legal way out of it, then, yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure they would take it. But even we live in a public outcry, you know, everything's about, you know, optics type country right now. It's right. Like the whole Moolah thing getting changed and all that stuff. Yeah. So the WWE more than likely would back out. The only reason I can see them not backing out is if they don't have a choice to back out.
Right.
I mean, it's like, it'd be great.
Yep.
But generally, those things are kind of written in there. They're like, yeah, there's probably like a public safety clause, like they don't feel like the wrestlers would be safe. But they'd have to prove it. I mean, right now, you know, Turkey believes they have proof that the guy is dead. But right now, there's not even a body right now.
Right.
It's not even 100% that he's dead, even though, you know, honestly, common sense says, you know, you don't go into an embassy and just don't come out and nothing's wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I agree.
I'm just saying. And this is not politics. I'm just stating facts. You know, I'm on the side of not going. I'm on the side of, I want my wrestlers to be safe.
Yep.
And a lot of wrestlers have different opinions that might not necessarily agree with the Saudi government.
I agree.
And I don't want anything happening to them. So that being said, but again, if they feel comfortable enough to do it. I'm just not going to be that guy. Like, I have a couple friends that are like, I'm done with the WWE if they go over there. I'm like, I'm not done with the WWE, but like I said, I'm gonna protest the only way I know how. I'm just, like I said, the show's going to happen, and I'm going to pretend like it didn't.
Yep, I agree.
Like, unless a title changes hands there or some crap, I'm really not going to talk about it.
Yep, I understand. I completely understand. And we'll probably talk about it some more the closer it gets and if there's more information that comes out, you know.
So. Yeah, if they end up canceling it, I will actually be prouder of the WWE than I have been in a long time.
100%. I could not agree with that statement more. 100%. So, real quick, I want to read what 411 Mania said about tonight's Raw. They said it was purely awful And they simply said WWE Raw continues to exist. That's what they said about the performance. They didn't specifically say. Well, they did praise Ronda Rousey for the Ronda Rousey versus Nikki and Brie promo. They said it was very, very good, but everything else they kind of just shit on. But basically their quote was, WWE Raw continues to exist. So let's run through here and see what you agree and disagree with on that.
Yeah, shall we? They love giving us a lot of the same crap. They do.
Oh man, that's so true. So we start off with the Dogs of War arriving, right?
Yeah.
They claim to be the most dominant three-man team in WWE history, and they said they did not need a fancy name or matching outfits to do so. This led to some footage last week, led to sad Dean Ambrose, or picture, you know, video of Dean Ambrose. Dolph Ziggler, or no, Drew hypes up the world class or the World Cup to determine the best in the world qualifying matches and says he's winning. Dolph actually says that he's also in there and maybe we'll meet in the finals. Drew says, no offense, but you're no Drew McIntyre. So my first question is, did we see a little bit of a riff there, or was that just Drew McIntyre just saying, you know, playing with his friend Dolph there?
Yeah, it was showing Drew is confident, but the whole thing with the Dogs of War, it's three people, and they're very clear, we're not brothers, we're not friends, we are using each other as a means, you know, they're very open about that.
Okay.
So it was like, when I look at that, it was just like, it's just them being exactly who they've been, which is not friends at all. They don't consider themselves friends. They actually think being brothers and friends is a weakness to the Shield.
I understand that. That makes sense. They're saying that there's a means to an ends for their relationship, where there's emotions involved in the Shield's connection, which could prove problematic, basically, is what you're saying,
they're,
right?
They're like, we're smarter than you because we're only together for business reasons.
Gotcha. After that, Braun says that he is, in fact, winning the world title at WWE Sweet Saudi Money 2, which is being dubbed Blood Money by Indie Wrestling Radio here. We're going to start calling it Blood Money, or Saudi Money 2, Blood Money. After that, Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns arrive. They claim the Shield is doing live and well, but the War Dogs, I think it was Dolph, said, where's Dean? They ask where Dean is, and Seth gives an awesome reply, said that he is on Ambrose time or on Lunatic time. I really like that. He runs on Lunatic time. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I definitely like that too. And it's funny because on the few episodes of Total Divas I've ever watched, that is a true thing. Dean Ambrose does not really subscribe to the same type of linear time that we do.
I did not know that. I didn't know that.
They're like, no, he's late everywhere. He's one of those people like, you're late. I'm here. That's all you get out of him. It was like,
that's
am I late? But I'm here. So there you go.
That's really awesome. That actually is really awesome. So after the two teams go back and forth, we get a World Cup qualifying match, which is Drew McIntyre versus Seth Rollins. This match went 13 minutes and 30 seconds. Rollins actually hits the blackout outside of the ring and then wins by countout. And this is after Dean Ambrose showed up. I guess I should say that Dolph Ziggler came out about halfway, three quarters of the way through the match, cause a distraction for Drew to get the upper hand. And then just as Dolph is getting involved again, Ambrose shows up coming from behind, lays out Dolph. Drew lays out or Drew and Dean. There's too many D's, dude. Dean and Drew get into it for a second, and then Seth comes over, does the curb stomp onto Drew, gets back into the ring, and wins by count out. Did I say all that right?
You did say all that right.
Woo!
Two positives from this match for me. One, we finally got an actual, like, real competitor in this World Cup. So Mr. Seth Rollins, one of the best wrestlers in the world. Now I actually feel like the World Cup might decide who's the best in the world. Second on the list is it drives home the point I've been making that Drew McIntyre might be the most protected wrestler in the WWE because Brock Lesnar has taken a pin this year. Braun Strowman has taken a pin this year. Roman Reigns has taken a clean pin this year. All of them have been pinned clean. You know the one wrestler who has not been pinned clean this year?
Hit me with
Drew McIntyre.
Drew? It is Drew for sure, huh?
He lost by count out.
That's awesome.
His shoulders are not hitting that mat until it means something. When he loses, it will mean something.
Yeah, I can't remember. It was sometime last week, at the beginning of last week, we talked about it, and you brought that to my attention that Drew is extremely protected, which I'm not against in any way. I think that's awesome. Do you feel the same way? Or you?
Oh, I'm absolutely feel the same way. Drew McIntyre is, like I said, if you gave me the book, he's the guy I would push amazingly, like out of everybody. I mean, KO and AJ Styles are my favorite wrestlers, but they are missing the most money not pushing Drew McIntyre.
Really?
Yeah.
I like it.
I mean, you just think about what people like. He can wrestle. He's about 6'5". He's totally jacked, just like the WWE likes, right?
And he can talk. And he can talk.
He's an attractive man. He can promo, and he has that Irish accent that will bring a lot of the ladies in. I think he is money. And I'm thinking they're starting to really realize how much money he is.
I would agree 100%. That is an astute observation, my friend. Yeah. Like I said, I want to say it was the beginning of last week that you first brought it to my attention, just how protected he is. And I love that, man. That's like that's old school stuff of how you kept someone looking strong back in the olden days. Am I right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Bruiser Brody would not get pinned in America. That was his thing.
Absolutely. Roddy Piper would not eat a pin. Very rarely would he eat a pin.
Hogan never pinned Roddy Piper. He like doing his big Hogan run.
Yeah. Yeah. It's absolutely.
Like Piper said, once he pins me, I'm not a threat anymore.
Right.
And it's just no one thinks like that anymore.
Yeah, everything is more 50-50 now, and it seems to be thus far they are keeping it old school with Drew McIntyre, which I think they should. You know, a 6'5 beast like that should not be getting pinned in a 13-minute match on Raw. It should just not happen.
When you look at him, I mean, he looks every bit as big and as imposing as Braun Strowman.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
And it's like, you don't have a lot of people like that. And the move the way he does, he can high fly, he can wrestle. They had that spot where they did the superplex and then Drew turned it into his own Falcon Arrow. It was so smooth and so well done. He's so good. And he can wrestle with someone like Seth Rollins and put on a really good match. Then he can wrestle with someone like Braun Strowman and put on a really good match.
Yep, I agree. I agree 100%. So after that 13-minute and 30-second match, we cut backstage. You see the Bellas walk into their dressing room, and you see that They're kind of watching over their shoulder. You know, they're essentially, they don't realize they're on camera, so they're not playing the tough girl act. They are, you can tell that they are worried, legitimately worried about running into Ronda Rousey. They get to their locker room quick. Next, we see Lita and Trish Stratus. I didn't fully catch what they were saying about Lita and Trish Stratus, but I read an Uproxx tweet last night or two nights ago saying that Trish and Lita both have plans to stay and do some more work with the WWE after the WWE Evolution pay-per-view, which is the all-women's pay-per-view. Have you read anything about that?
I've heard rumors, and I mean, Trish looks like she's in really good shape, and you know, Lita, I don't like. I know she has the neck issue. That, I mean, I think she's one of those people I think would still be wrestling if it wasn't for her neck. So I don't think that was the fact that her wanting to wrestle. I don't think was ever the question. It's how her physical health has always been the actual question with her.
Gotcha. Next, we see the Shield backstage. Dean gets insulted when Seth Rollins calls him lunatic. He says, "Oh, I'm just the funny guy. I'm just the lunatic. That's all I am to y'all." Yada, yada, yada. He storms off. We look back at the DX reunion. The DX reunion announcement that happened last week. This leads to a Brothers of Destruction video package where they cut a vignette together. What'd you think about this vignette? Because at first I thought it kind of looked a little cheap, and even when they were talking, the background and stuff did look pretty damn cheap if you ask me, but as always, The Undertaker killed it with his promo, and Kane did too with his promo as well, but just the surroundings, I thought, looked cheap. Do you disagree with that?
I don't disagree with it. They just did everything they did they could to shoot it really dark so you couldn't get a hold of them.
Ah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Didn't even think about that.
Yeah, I mean it's one of those things. It's like, I don't mean to drive it home, but it's like they're old. It's
it's true. It's true. Next we get Nia Jax versus Ember Moon. Nia Jax and Ember Moon versus Dana Brooke and Tamina. Hey, Tamina is alive, bro. She's back. Where's she been? Any idea?
Oh, she had a serious arm injury.
Oh, wow. Like, do you know what?
Yeah, it was like her left arm, and it, I think it was like the second time she had hurt it.
Ah, gotcha. Well, this went just over, just long enough where I'm not going to bitch about it. It went 4 minutes and 45 seconds. So if it was 46 minutes shorter, I would go on my typical, why isn't this match at least 4 minutes long rant that I'm sure you love to hear, Floyd, but it did make it past the 4 minutes. But they were building up to the women's, all women's battle royal for, Evolution. And Tamina and Ember Moon actually team up to tip over Nia Jax. And for a second there, I thought Ember Moon was going to turn heel. But then Ember Moon goes to knock over Tamina too. So it wasn't Ember turning heel. It was showing that once the Battle Royal starts, she'll have no problem going every woman for herself. Isn't that the way you took it, basically?
That is exactly the way I took it. And I thought it was smartly done because, you know, I know we got what? It's a week from Sunday. But I hope they announced that, like, the winner gets a title shot or something.
I think they did announce it last night, didn't they? That they get a future women's world title shot?
I did not hear that, but because I guess I might have been doing something else at the time. I'm generally watching while I'm trying to work. So if I missed it, I missed it. But yeah, that's what I want there, because it's just like, I hate when they have these battle royals and it's like nothing's on the line. It's like, so why would you put yourself at risk and be in this battle royal?
Yeah.
And nothing's on the line.
Yep, I just looked it up. Yeah, there will be a battle royal at Evolution for a future title shot. So it doesn't say specifically when, but it does say. So yeah, and I agree with you 100%. If there's not an award for the Battle Royal, why have the Battle Royal, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So like, it's like the Andre. I think, you know, even if they say it, okay, Intercontinental or United States title shot. At that point, it would make the Intercontinental title and the United States title. You and Andre, you get to pick, depending on what show you're on, you know, your title shot. Like the next night on the first Raw of the new year, you get a title shot against the winner of one of them. It would just make sense.
Yeah, if absolutely.
Something more was on the line.
Yeah, because the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal is mostly made up of mid-card wrestlers anyway, so put on the line a mid-card title shot. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. But following this match right here, like I said, after Ember Moon goes to throw Tamina over the top turn or over the top rope, Dana Brooke comes over and flips both of them over, and she stands alone in the ring. I don't have any confidence whatsoever that Dana Brooke is going to have any chance of winning this Battle Royal at Evolution, so it was nice to see her getting a stand tall moment with a little bit of cheers on Raw last night.
Yes, I was absolutely, you know, I wouldn't call myself a Dana Brooke fan, but I kind of root for her personally because she just seems like she's like the nice chick.
Yeah.
You know, so, and, you know, and she was like getting pushed and then she got hurt. And then when she came back from injury, it was like, she got no TV time.
Yeah.
And it's like, I hate that. I hate when an injury, like someone gives you a concussion and somehow it costs you, it somehow costs you your push.
Right.
I did nothing. They hit me in the head. Yep. Why are you taking my push away?
I agree. Next, we get footage of the Bellas attacking Ronda Rousey last week after she won her match. Ronda Rousey comes out to talk, and my one complaint about this segment right here is Ronda comes out, and she's pissed off to the core, and then she looks out at the crowd, and she smiles her big smile. Like, Rhonda, we get it. You have a beautiful smile. You are a beautiful woman, and you kick ass. When it's time to turn it on, you freaking turn it on and you kick ass. But, dude, sometimes you got to hold back that smile, bro. You got to.
You know what? And I honestly, you know, generally, I mean, I love Rhonda, so I would agree. I disagree, but I agree. I agree wholeheartedly on this. It's just, you got to have the game face on.
Yeah.
You know, you're pissed, and I know you're happy to be there. I know you love the fans, and I know you love everything like that, and you just want to just let everybody know how much you love everything, but I need you to be a little more pissed.
Right. Yeah. So you and I have talked about this, smiling while coming to the ring, before on the show, and I don't think we've talked about this, but I've actually kind of got this like theory about her smiling, right? And my theory is that she comes out smiling, one, for the simple fact I think it comes natural to her because she's so happy to be there because she's a lifelong wrestling fan, right? But I think that she comes out smiling because she's such a badass that she can just flip it on and off at will, right? So she comes out, she smiles because she's just taking it all in, and then once she steps in the ring, she turns it on, and it's game face time, and she kicks ass, right? And and I'm starting to actually kind of dig it, where she smiles on the way out, and then once her feet are in the ring, she's all business. But last night was one of those situations where you kind of dig in deeper on that character, and you come out and you're angry from the time the camera sees you backstage all the way until the segment is over because you're betrayed. You know what I mean? You're betrayed. You need to be angry. And I think last night that was the I think that was the only slip up of Rhonda's last night because everything else was phenomenal. And I know you said you wanted to talk about the Ronda Rousey Bella Twins part. So whatever you want, I mean, it's all, it's you. Take it away, my friend.
okay, so Rhonda, since she's gotten here, has had her calling card as far as wrestling matches. She's had that really great match with Kurt Angle versus Triple H and Stephanie. She had a really good match for Rhonda. I mean, Nia Jax. And then, of course, she's had her dominant matches with Alexa Bliss. She's really performed well. But she hadn't had that wrestler moment yet. That Austin 316, CM Punk pipe bomb, The Rock sing-along with The Rock moment. She hadn't shown who she was as a promo artist. You saw her in UFC, and the reason I thought she would come over to WWE really well is because she was really funny and aggressive off the cuff in the in UFC. Like, her best sound bites is when she wasn't thinking. So you really haven't got that in the WWE because she's kind of vulgar. She throws out bitches and, you know, she's like, I'm just going to break your effing arm. And that's who she is. Well, tonight, oh my God, it was her coming out party as a sports entertainer. It was her coming out party as a promo artist. I'm like, I don't care who wrote this. She delivered it perfectly, this promo.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, she said at one point, and I it's just like, look, me, there were so many quotable moments from this that I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to try to remember everything. She says, "Your relics of the past to be eviscerated like smallpox."
Ooh,
that was one of them. Oh my God! And she's like, the only door. Told Nikki the only door you broke down was the door to John Cena's bedroom, and that's the same door he threw you out.
Ooh, throwing that shade, bruh.
Dude, and she said, I know they're probably, man, I'm not gonna even give you anything. I'm just gonna say, she threw out everything everyone that dislikes the Bella says. I would not be surprised if Nikki Bella wrote this promo.
I wouldn't doubt it.
It literally sounded like something like a bunch of internet marks just dissing on her. But Rhonda delivered with such passion, such fury, that look on her face, she did not crack a smile.
Yep.
She was in game face mode. She was in pissed off mode. And in one moment, in this whole little period of time, it went from, I'm literally going to watch Evolution and turn it off before the main event, till I can't wait for this main event. She flipped me that hard.
Yeah, I loved it, dude.
Dude, and she's definitely the face. What I wanted was Stone Cold Ronda Rousey, and last night you got Stone Cold Ronda Rousey.
Yep.
And I just thought that was perfect. I'm kissing my hands to the air because it was just like, it reiterated to me everything I was looking for originally when Ronda came to the WWE. That was the Ronda I wanted.
Yep. Yeah, last night to me was the peak of the Ronda Rousey WWE character thus far in her short career, in my opinion.
Yes, it's going to be memed. It's going to be video clipped. I plan on taking out the sound, and it's probably going to be the opening to my to Around the Ring this week.
Oh, I love it.
Because it was so good, and it just said everything. And it was funny, because I put a quote in the club. I was like, oh, so Ronda Rousey's sexist. Because she didn't say anything I didn't say. We said the same thing.
Right, right. Oh, man, that's so awesome.
I'm like, truth is truth, man. And she called them do-nothing Bellas, which, if you know Ronda, one of her catchphrases is, don't be a do-nothing bitch.
Yeah, yeah. But she called them, she switched it up on them.
Yeah, she gave it the PG version, call them do-nothing Bellas. Now, I will say this, and I will laugh, because the Bellas, this is where you'll know, I don't hate them as people. That is one thing you cannot call them. Yeah. They are two of the hardest working women as far as their promotions, perfumes, YouTube videos, all that stuff. They're always working. So they're really not that, but she delivered in such a way, made you think it, that they were that.
Right.
She got me kayfabe. She got me in that wrestling world. I was literally worried for Nikki and Bree's life for a moment.
I agree. Yeah, it was absolutely awesome. I have nothing to add to it because it was, I mean, you broke it down perfectly.
Hat tip to Ronda Rousey, hat tip to the Bellas, because literally they hear all of that all the time. And to go out there and hear it in front of everyone, to know that any of your accomplishments, both of their accomplishments, anything that they've ever done, most people associate it with who they happen to be dating, married to, or sleeping with. Right. So I know that couldn't have been easy, but they are true professionals. So I will use this time to tip my hat to the Bellas also.
Absolutely. Because
standing there and letting somebody basically tear you a new asshole on live TV, that takes some thick skin.
Absolutely. I completely agree. I completely agree. I thought the Bellas were just as every bit of an important part of that segment as Ronda Rousey was, obviously. If you haven't watched that segment, if there was one segment you watched from Raw last night, that needs to be the one. It was absolutely awesome.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you only watched one thing from Raw last night, watch that. I mean, I don't think Raw was a very good show. But that was amazing. That was an A-plus moment on a C show.
Next, we get Kurt Angle backstage, and he's talking to Chad Gable and Bobby Roode. And at first, you don't see Angle. They're talking about, man, we've got to get one of these and blah blah blah, and it cuts to Kurt Angle and he's wearing a Hawaiian style shirt with a straw hat, and he's on, you know, it's vacation clothing, like he's an old man that's been near the beach and stuff. And absolutely awesome. It was freaking hilarious. The acting general manager Baron Corbin comes up and says, hope you've been enjoying your vacation because you have a match tonight. And Kurt Angle says, I didn't bring my gear. And he says, oh, you'll just have to make do. Oh, and by the way, it's a handicap match versus AOP, the Authors of Pain. Not good. I would not want it being a handicap match with the Authors of Pain.
Oh my God. No, no.
And we'll talk about that match here in just a minute. Next we get a World Cup qualifier. Dean Ambrose versus Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler actually wins this match. It goes 9 minutes and 20 seconds. What did you think about the match?
I thought it did a good job of the storytelling of the strife within the Shield. Of course, Dean comes out and helps Seth win. Seth comes out and causes Dean to lose. So it did everything it was supposed to do there.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And then it continued. Basically, what you said, it continued the angle going between the Shield and the Lunatic Fringe, kind of storming off and not really talking to anybody. Next, we see I have in my notes Braun, Dolph, and Drew talk about ending the Shield tonight. Was that backstage? Because I wrote that down, but I'm not really remembering what they said.
Yeah, it was backstage. They talked about how, basically Drew was trying to take the lead. Braun said, I don't do what you say, you do what I say kind of thing. And then Braun said, if either one of them messes up, that they were going to get these hands.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah, so it was very much, very much the end, kind of like, hey, this relationship is contentious. They don't, you know, they don't actually like each other.
Gotcha, gotcha. After that, we get the modern day Maharaja, Jinder Mahal versus Finn Balor. Both of the Singh brothers side by side outside the ring. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I was a little annoyed because I feel like with them coming back, Jinder should have got the win here.
Yeah, and maybe, you know where I'm about to go with this, maybe it should have lasted longer than a minute freaking 45, dude.
Well, a minute and 45 was plenty for this match because I was bored with it 45 seconds in.
Dude, tell me something. Floyd, my man, I value your opinion, so I got to know something. Jinder, can you believe Jinder was a world champion a year ago?
I have a Jinder Mahal shirt. I was a fan of the run because the only reason I say this is because the one thing we ask for in wrestling is something different. And that's what it was. It was something different at the time. It wasn't the same five people that hold the title all the time. And, of course, he beat Randy Orton for the title, so I was definitely not mad at that.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah, I was
for the time, it was different. It just lasted way too long, and they ended up playing up that old, the whole stereotype thing and started doing that instead of, they could have done so much more with it. I feel like the WWE failed Jinder Mahal. Jinder Mahal didn't fail his
game. Oh, yeah. I agree 100% on that. It was not Jinder's fault. I think Jinder, as champion, did the best with what he had to work with. Jinder's not the best in-ring technician, and they knew that long before they put the title on him. So they should have been doing stuff that would have contributed to his strengths, would have put a spotlight on his strengths, and hid his weaknesses as much as possible, but they did not. And because of that, his title reign, which should have been, you know, the biggest moment of his career, which probably still is, but it should have been a huge moment in his career, and instead, towards the end, it felt like it dragged on, you know?
Yeah, and it was like one of those things, when they finally gave the title to AJ, it just came off as a mercy killing. It was like,
yep, you're right.
Thank you, bro. Thank you for doing this. It's like, and I imagine Jinder was like, thank God, because I know his whole personal life and social life couldn't have been doing that well because people hated him as champion.
Yeah, they really did. We see Bobby Lashley and Leo Rush arrive. Rush is talking up Lashley as he poses. Lashley goes up against Tyler Breeze. Rush has Lashley doing another posing routine. Lashley hits Tyler Breeze with his finisher, which I do not believe has a name yet still. The match lasted 3 minutes and 25 seconds. The match between Bobby Lashley and Tyler Breeze lasted twice as long, as Jinder Mahal versus Finn Balor, who are both former world champions.
Yeah, Bobby Lashley probably just wrestled slow. you know, it was supposed to come off as dominating him being an asshole.
Yeah.
So that's why they gave him a little bit more time, but WWE doesn't make sense on the time.
I agree.
And think about it. Finn Balor and Jinder Mahal have wrestled each other 3 weeks in a row.
Yep.
Just think about that. A match no one wants. We've gotten 3 weeks in a row and an extra time. We got two mixed matches or whatever. I think they wrestled, had like three mixed tag team matches. So it's like, you know, again, you know these thing, you know that thing you don't want anymore? Here's more of it. What do you mean you don't like fish? Here's a big plate of fish.
Next, we see Trish and Lita talking. They come out and they are starting to hype up the Evolution pay-per-view. Alexa and Mickey come out. They have fun mocking Trish and Lita. Mickey says something about them being gone a long time and plan to beat them easily at Evolution. Trish cuts them off. Lita does the... Y'all talking about practice? Y'all talking about practice? I popped, dude. I popped.
Somebody, you did pop?
I did pop.
Somebody on our group said, "How old is this? How old is this thing? How old is this reference?" I was like, "As old as they are." Boom!
Oh, that's a good one. Zing.
I was like, this practice thing was relevant the last time they were.
Yeah, I thought, you know, they were in Philly last night, and
it was perfect. It was, in that way, it was perfect, but it was just like, oh my God.
But really, this is like, really, it kind of goes with them too, right? Because it almost shows, in a weird way, if you think about it kind of deep, like it shows that they've been out of the limelight for so long that now that they're back, they're making references to things that were popular that were going on when they were popular and going on. That's the way I kind of took it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's a perfect way to take it. I kind of laughed just because it was just like, oh, they went there. When she said the word practice, I seriously was like, oh, so they're about to do the Allen Iverson thing.
Next, we see the AOP defeat the Conquistador in 1 minute. This is one of the few matches that I'm A-okay with it going less than 4 minutes. This match, you know what I mean? If it went 4 minutes, it would have been an abomination, right? It would have done nothing for AOP. So AOP beats the Conquistador in 1 minute. The whole time the match is going on, Baron Corbin is sitting in a chair at the top of the what do you call it? The stage, the top of the stage, the walkway. They take the mask off the Conquistador. It is somebody that we don't know. Kurt Angle attacks Baron Corbin from behind in his awesome getup. I absolutely love the outfit that Kurt Angle is wearing.
It said guys was on vacation. Definitely said that.
Right. But it was pretty fun. 1 minute match. Find out that Conquistador is not Kurt Angle, and then Kurt Angle gets his comeuppance on Baron Corbin. Thought it was pretty cool.
Anybody that has ever seen Kurt Angle immediately knew that was not Kurt Angle.
Exactly.
It was like, this dude was taller and he was thin. I was like, that is not Kurt Angle.
Right. Next, it was Ruby Riott versus Natalya. Now, I missed this. I was making some breakfast this morning, so I missed this match. Is this where Natalya came out with two friends?
Yep. Okay. She came out with the Boss and the Hood Connection.
Yeah, so it was, Natalya comes out, and, as we mentioned earlier, the Riot Squad messed up Natalya's locker room earlier in the night, right?
Yes.
And so when Natalya comes out, she says that she didn't come alone. She brings out first Bayley, and then she brings out, and I guess we would call her the returning Sasha Banks, right? Because she's been gone for a little bit.
Yeah, she was hurt. I don't remember exactly what the injury was, but she was hurt.
Yeah. But I didn't see the finish. What do you remember what the finish was?
The finish was, it ended up being a DQ, and then they all kind of, the good guys got their moves in.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah, it was the back thing that Sasha Banks, the bank statement, up until a bit Bayley to belly.
Gotcha.
So it was that kind of thing. It was just kind of introduce Sasha coming back. I'm glad she's back. You know, she's one of those people. She's really talented. I honestly, I've been like this forever. I was like, there's no way that out of the four horsewomen, there's no way that the four horsewomen shouldn't be main eventing Evolution, but, you know, right. Business.
Yeah, I think that would have been really cool if they would have been, but what are you going
to
do?
I don't think it had to be a fatal four-way, but I feel like one of them should have been it.
Yep, I agree. Next we get Elias next, right?
Elias, yeah. You get to walk with Elias.
We get to walk with Elias. He runs down John Cena. I think he ran down Philly as well. He got the booze that he was looking for. He was interrupted by Apollo Crews. I guess they're trying to start something between Elias and Apollo Crews.
They're trying to reintroduce Apollo Crews.
They brought him up way too early from NXT last year or 2 years ago, didn't they?
Yeah, I just didn't, he was really good wrestler. I always heard about him from the indies and stuff like that. It was just, he wasn't ready. I mean, he didn't have that buzz that you generally get from NXT.
Right.
From being a big NXT star, people seeing you on NXT every week.
Right. Yep.
So, like I said, everything was missing about his return. It was just like, he was one of the first ones, him and Baron Corbin, that didn't get to the top of the NXT card before getting called up. And I think it was proof that you should be, you know.
Yeah, I agree. They go after it a little bit. Apollo Crews ends up body slamming Elias. Elias powders and gets the hell out of there. And that was the end of that segment. It didn't really last too long. They're obviously setting up a match or some sort of feud. We see Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns talking backstage. And then here comes The Shield versus Drew McIntyre, Dolph Ziggler, or Braun Strowman. Are they still going by War Dogs? Because I don't know if I heard a reference.
They don't really go by a name. They don't go by a name. It was like something he said that first time, but you knew it wasn't kind of their name because they never got a shirt. And you know WWE loves to put everything on a shirt.
Yeah, they're going to capitalize on anything. And they didn't
capitalize on that. So that was kind of your hint that they weren't long.
Right. Good call. I didn't really write any notes down for this match. All I wrote down was it was a solid match. It went just under 15 minutes, and The Shield won. What did you think about the match?
It was storyline heavy. It was building up the descent on both sides. So it was like, while I was interested, I wasn't interested, if you get what I mean. I wasn't like expecting a classic, and I didn't get one.
Yeah.
You know? I couldn't get disappointed because I wasn't expecting anything.
Right. Yeah, I get it.
I got that. They kind of teased Drew taking the pin, and he didn't. And then, of course, Dolph took the pin because Dolph's the pin eater of that group. I mean, if you watch New Japan Wrestling, every team has a pin eater. Dolph's the pin eater of that group. I was more surprised that they gave us what they gave us after. I'm sorry, I got a little heartburn thing going on here, but I was very surprised that they gave us what they gave us after, because it excited me to no end.
Braun power slamming Dolph and then getting a claymore from Drew?
Yes, and selling it.
Yes.
I mean, he knocked him on his ass.
Yes, he did.
that's what I'm excited about. It wasn't that Drew did something. It was that they gave him the respect of someone as big as he is.
Yep.
You know, he's huge, but, you know, they have that thing with Braun. It's like, he doesn't necessarily sell for everyone. He sold that kick like his life got ruined.
You're right, man. You're right.
I mean, he was flat laid out, and that's how the toe went off the air. And how often does that happen to Braun?
Yeah, no. That very rarely is he on his back for an extended period.
So that's what I'm saying. It was just like how he sold it was just as important as him actually sticking up for himself. Because I'm one of those people. Sign me up for a Braun versus Drew feud.
I think it'd be
Sign me up.
That would be awesome.
It would be right there in whatever seat you have for that feud.
Yep. Agreed.
Drew McIntyre is one of those people. He's been doing this long enough. He's going to make, like, Braun's not horrible, but he's not going to give you a five-star classic. But I think Drew McIntyre can bring him up to his level.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, dude. And what's pretty cool is, like you said, something that rarely happens. The show goes off the air with Braun not being on top.
Yeah, it was all about, it was like, it was Drew McIntyre, you know, basically saying, hey, you're not better than me. Yep. We were using each other. I have no use for you anymore.
Yep.
Kick to the face.
I agree. I 100% agree. And that's it for our Raw review today, man. What'd you think? What'd you rate it? And what are your personal thoughts about this week's Raw?
Like I said, it was a C show with an A+ moment.
Yeah, and just revisit it. The A+ moment was the Ronda Rousey promo.
Yeah, the Ronda Rousey promo. Which like I said, if you don't watch Raw, go watch that clip. It's gonna be everywhere. So I wish I could be like, well, you're gonna have to find it. You don't have to. It's gonna be everywhere. I'm pretty sure it was on SportsCenter this morning. And I haven't even watched it because it was amazing. It hit the tone that it needed. And I was like, I just really just want you to watch it. It was a master's class in promos. And like I said, whatever training she's got from whoever she's been working with the WWE, I mean, her acting classes, whatever, it all paid off in that moment.
I agree. Well, my man, Floyd, we just finished Raw and we talked about a host of other stuff. So why don't you tell everybody where we can find you on the weekends?
Oh, well, this weekend you can find me in Nashville at NWA 70. But all other weekends around the ring. We release our shows on Sunday about noon. Facebook.com is Around the Ring OK. Twitter, Around the Ring OK. And you can email us at aroundtheringok@gmail.com.
Absolutely. And Floyd spends his weekends with Around the Ring. He spends his weekdays here at this show. He's got Floyd, my man, dude, you need to be podcaster of the year because you are host of two dominant podcasts in the wrestling podcast world. But don't forget to follow Floyd on all his social media, follow our show, and follow me on all our social media as well. I will tweet out, Instagram out, and Facebook out the link so you can vote for Floyd, Marvelous Mike, and myself for IWR Daily. On the Podcast of the Year Awards on Twitter. So definitely do that. Floyd, my main man, as always, like I always tell you, you teach me something every single day, so I truly appreciate you. I value our friendship as much as I value our partnership. You're an awesome dude. Teaching me something new about wrestling every single day, so I truly appreciate it, my man. And once again, one last thing. To the people that nominated us for Podcast of the Year and Best Review Podcast of the Year, we truly appreciate it from both Floyd and myself. And then for the podcast listener that came up at the WFC show this past Saturday and asked me for my autograph, asked Sly for his autograph, you do not know how much that meant to me. I truly appreciate it. So if anyone else is out there listening that sees me at a show, please come do that, because I will give you the world's biggest hug, because you just make people make my day when they do stuff like that. So I truly appreciate it. And don't forget, this weekend, do the same thing to Floyd. If you are going to be at NWA 70, where our Floyd and Savior, Floyd Johnson Jr., is going to be, if you see him up there and you don't go talk to Floyd and get his autograph or a selfie with him or whatever, you are wrong, okay? You go say hi to Floyd, tell him how much you love the show, tell him how much you hate the show. Just go say hi to our boy Floyd, get a picture with him. Floyd, anything else, my man?
No, that's it for me, man. We're about to get some sleep.
Yeah, get some sleep, bro. You got a long day, and you got a busy week, dude, and you're going to Nashville this weekend and everything else. So for Floyd and myself, everyone out there, stay strong and too sweet.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Toss salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. Ha, 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 ha. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do?